Oh yeah. Good morning, Arizona. Yeah, it's Rosie on the house. We're just changing up a little music. Trying to confuse you here early Saturday morning. Rise and shine. You've got a lot to get done today. We've got a lot to get done today. Loaded show today. Absolutely packed. Good morning. Hey, before we get started, what did you feed me last night?
It's my secret weapon.
Golly, what was that?
Well, it's pot pie. Homemade pot pie.
Yeah, I love your pot pie, but there was something in that pot pie.
It was just different.
Yeah, it was different.
You know, you always like interesting and new, so I had to experiment a little bit. But, you know, we had Baby Kay on last week, and you grew up with that, and she starts everything with what? Butter.
Butter.
So she's really hard to compete with.
Yeah, butter.
But there's no butter in that dish last night. And
really?
It's one of your favorites.
Wow, that was good. Can I have that for my going away dinner next weekend?
Going away, just for the right? Going away. Yeah. You're doing the kid. You coming?
I put it on it.
Okay.
you think you're ready until you get about 9 miles up the North Rim.
Yeah, I don't see you doing it.
And you're standing there, and your feet are beginning to ache a little bit. And then you look up the head wall, and you see 47,000
switchbacks.
Switchbacks, and then you cry. Then you just look up that wall, and you pound one more. You pound one more emergency, one more power drink, one more little energy booster.
Well, did you see that? I ordered
Close
something for you.
Close your eyes, and you just take one step after another.
That's life, right? It's a life lesson. And you know what?
Yes.
I ordered something special for you.
For the hike?
I did. I got 10 degrees cooler. Prayed it up for you.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for that, because the hike is a lot easier in cool weather.
Yeah, you hiked 20 miles last week at the McDowell's, and it was warm.
Yep.
And when I picked you up, you looked a little rough.
Did I look ready?
No. But the weather should help.
Yeah. I'll tell you the place you don't want to be when you decide you're not ready.
The bottom.
At the bottom of the Grand Canyon. I wish I'd have got a couple more conditioning hikes in. Well, that's not where you want to be. But no, I think I'm ready.
Considering the amount of traveling you've done this spring, you've done pretty good at getting your big hikes in there, but not quite as ready as you have been in the past.
I won't be jogging across.
That'd be Katie.
That's for sure. Hey, here I am out of town. I come back, and what's all this fan mail you got coming in on Miss Jennifer?
All this fan mail.
You
got my first.
You deserve the recognition. You've worked so hard keeping Rosie and Romy on track and on time during the show. Did you see this, Romy?
Pretty perceptive people, don't you think? That's my new fan. I only need one like that. That's a big fan.
Wow, that's interesting.
So thank you. Is it? Yeah, Matt, right?
Yeah.
Thanks, Matt, for the encouragement.
Hey, we've got Memorial Day coming up, so that's going to be impressive. Y'all have, while I'm hiking the canyon, y'all are going to have someone from the Urban Garden in and talking about canning fruit next week, right?
Yeah, Kari Spencer and Greg
Peterson
of the Urban Farm.
Well, then if you're going to listen to next week's show, you really need to get to Schnepp Farms Peach Festival today.
Oh, great call.
Load up on the peaches.
Right.
And then Kari's going to be talking about tips and tricks for canning your fruit and putting it up.
Canning and preserving, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Making jams and jellies and all of that. Okay. So that's next week. So, but the Peach Festival is this week out at Schnepp Farm. So you're not going to want to miss that for sure. Upcoming topics we've got on the show today is we've got John J. Harper coming in at 8 o'clock. Of course, outdoor living segment. 9 o'clock will be open lines for any of you that have got a project going. We invite you to call us at that time and let us put our remodeling experience to work for you.
And we have a special segment during the 9 o'clock.
I think we have a couple.
Ray of Light.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Begin to talk about our article about cabinets, updating your cabinets, whether you want to do it yourself or hire someone.
And whether you want to replace your cabinets or just clean them up, reface them, or resurface them. There's three different ways at the very least, but those are the three we're going to talk about today. Giving your cabinets a facelift.
It's a great way to update your kitchen if you don't want to do the whole thing or move a wall or if you don't need a whole lot, but it'll give you a nice fresh look.
Yeah, what we find is a lot of times we go into a kitchen and take a look at it, and they've got a considerable amount of money invested in countertops that they put on maybe cabinets that were a little past their prime. So now we're 5 or 8 or 9 or 10 years later, and now the cabinets are really past their prime, but those expensive countertops are still there. So rather than rip it all out and start from scratch, well, then we bring Ray in, Ray of Light, and he makes the cabinets like new again.
Works his magic.
Works his magic. And then at 10 o'clock, super cooling is like going to start hitting the radar screen multiple times a week now.
It already has.
It already has. How to save money on your summer energy bills. So we have an expert home energy auditor coming in for the 10 o'clock hour, Dave Burns from Green ID. So we've got the show packed for y'all today. You know, speaking of Memorial Day, Jennifer and I recently completed a trip to New Orleans. And New Orleans, for me, is always kind of a trip back home, kind of get to see some family, get to go to the restaurants and stay in the hotels, you know, that I used to spend time with my grandfather and my grandmother and my mom and my dad. And, you know, it's kind of a trip down memory lane. But there are new things happening in New Orleans, new restaurants for sure. We found new restaurants this time that we hadn't eaten in ever that yeah. I would rate.
And it was a special trip because we got to take Baby K with us.
We had Baby K with us, so we were there for the jazz festival. Mm-hmm. So it was great. But if you haven't been to the World War II Museum in New Orleans, I'm telling you, it is worth a trip to New Orleans just to get to that museum. It started as the D-Day Museum because on D-Day, you've all seen the movies, the documentaries of the large boats packed with men standing shoulder to shoulder that pull up on Normandy Beach. The back of the boat drops into the water. It works as a ramp. Everyone comes charging out of those boats, down the ramps and onto the beach. Those are called Higgins boats. Higgins boats were adopted for the military from the oil industry in southern Louisiana. The Higgins Boat Manufacturing Company is in New Orleans. So someone, I think, in the Higgins descendant family said, we should have a museum about what our factory has done in support of the American military. So they started this museum, the D-Day Museum. Over the last 10 or 15 years, it has exploded into a World War II museum that if you go to New Orleans and you want to take in that museum, allocate a minimum of 2 full days.
That being said, after just a couple of hours, you know, we were all like overwhelmed. It's a very realistic kind of experience. It's very heavy. I didn't want to go. I thought I just want to be outside.
Right.
Let's just go walk, go ride on the boats, get outside on the river. But I didn't want to leave. It's just done so.
It's done so
interactively, and
you get dog tags for someone that actually served in the American Army, Navy, Air Force. And you start the museum with their dog tag, and you decide if you're going to go through the European theater side of the museum or the Pacific Naval side theater, the Pacific Theater. And so you've got somebody's name tag, dog tag. Well, you come out at the end of the museum.
You follow their story through the war.
You follow their story through the entire event, and
you find out at the
end. You find out whether you make it or not.
Mm-hmm. You know? And you had someone, you were surprised to see.
Came around the corner and saw my buddy Joe Foss featured right there. It was awesome.
Right here from, where was
Yeah, Joe Foss lived right over at Gady Ranch. So,
and he gave you his book, right? When you met
him. I got a personally signed copy of his book. We were over there doing a little remodeling at his house about 15 years ago, and
His picture's on a plaque there in his story.
Joe and Dee Dee. So it was great.
Is this Joe Foss the pilot?
Joe Foss the pilot. Joe,
really?
Joe Foss the first commissioner of Professional Football League.
Yeah, see, he's famous in South Dakota. He's originally from there.
That's right. You're
and exactly the airport that I fly into when I go home in Sioux Falls is Joe Foss Field.
Yeah.
And there's a plane of him and everybody there. I mean, I knew his story, so that's pretty interesting.
Isn't that cool?
He's right there featured in the World War II Museum. So come around the corner, I think, wow, I know that face. Oh, there's Joe. So
there's a shooting range in Arizona named after him, the Joe Foss shooting range down on 85 south of Buckeye.
Well, so many wonderful stories represented in the museum. It's heartbreaking, but also makes you very proud.
It is.
But I don't think I could take 2 full days of it. It's worth going.
Oh, I could, definitely. Definitely.
I needed a nap. Definitely. It was heavy.
And you ought to see the gift store.
The books. They have life-size planes, you know. Gives you a real, and you get to go up above and look down on them. So you see, you had an uncle who hung out the back of one of those as a gunner, right?
I had an uncle who was a tail gunner on one of the bombers. And he was so small that on one sortie, a bomb got stuck in the bomb hatch and it wouldn't come out. So he had to leave his tail gunner position little glass bubble there and crawl through the internal parts of the airplane and manually release that bomb. And somewhere and somehow and all of that, he got trapped and ended up flying all the way back to England. Hung up in the Bombay chute of the plane.
Are you surprised if I tell you that he never flew again? after the war, he never got in an airplane
again. He never did. If he couldn't get there in his Ford F-150, he wasn't going. Uncle Jerry, God bless him. All right, so we're gonna come back and be talking a little bit more about some Arizona events. We've got some huge, beautiful testimonies of staycation winners that have recently won the Rosie on the House Sanderson Ford Staycation. We want to share those stories and encourage you to register for that. All and that and more when we get back.
I've been through the desert on a horse with no name. Yeah. Good to be out far.
We going riding Monday?
You betcha.
All right. Maybe get up on the rim a little bit cooler.
I think so. It's supposed to heat up Monday.
Won't ride through the desert Monday. We'll ride up through the pines. Have a beautiful day.
Desert rides are over for a couple months.
Yeah, probably so. Hey, I wanted to, before we get any farther, I wanted to mention that here at Rosie on the House, we support a lot of charities, but we really focused the majority of our charity work in two arenas, and that's Habitat for Humanity, and that comes from a decision that Romy helped me think through about 10 years ago, where we were supporting about 40 charities. And he says, you know, Dad, maybe we could just focus a little bit on a charity that fits our vision a little bit better and then, you know, direct all of our energy and focus in that direction. So we teamed up with Habitat for Humanity, and it's been a great relationship for a long, long time. And then we adopted St. Vincent de Paul. And I've just got to congratulate St. Vincent de Paul. They had a groundbreaking ceremony for a $16 million, 40,000 square foot homeless shelter that will be serving adults over 50 years old with disabilities.
They have been very excited about getting this done. It's been in the works for a while. It's really a special ministry, just the most hurting of the hurt.
How special is that? So congratulations to the entire team over at St. Vincent de Paul. And we tell people, look, if we ever do anything here at Rosie on the House by way of a tip or advice that saves you a little bit of money on maintenance or your electric bill or something, we hope that you'll take a little bit of that money and redirect it to a charity of your choice. And if you don't have a charity of your choice, redirect it to St. Vincent de Paul or Habitat for Humanity, and we'll appreciate you for that.
With all the super cooling testimonies, we should be able to help fund a little bit of that building, huh?
Yeah, if everybody that's saving money super cooling would redirect a little of that money to St. Vincent de Paul, they could finish the little bit of campaign capital they've got to raise to be 100% completely funded. And that article is actually a week old. It may be completely funded now, but congratulations. Hey, it's boating season, right?
Yep.
So Carol Grace, our little babies, home from college. It feels normal with her home.
It does.
Empty nesting doesn't feel normal yet, does it?
Not yet.
No.
Not yet. I love having her friends around. But I knew she was home, Romy, because Rosie and I have been grocery shopping, and it's been really nice to save money on grocery shopping. Well, I took her to Costco the other day because her friends were coming over. $400.
And how many friends?
She's got a lot of friends.
Yeah, and they're around a lot. That's just exactly the way we want. We wouldn't have it any other way.
Had to restock the pantry.
Yeah, ma'am. We had just gotten the house to where the pantry and the refrigerator lived like empty nesters, and we weren't constantly throwing food away that was going bad because we were still in the habit of buying so much more than we eat. But she comes home, and I say, well, what are we going to do for fun this summer? First thing she comes out of her mouth, Dad, let's get to the lake. Let's take the friends. Let's get water skiing. Well, it is definitely boat season. And I can't tell you, if you're new to a boat or you haven't taken the boat safety classes.
Do it.
I grew up in a boat. My family always had a boat. I've been in a boat from birth. And I took the boat safety class offered by the Coast Guard and by the Arizona Game and Fish. And I want to tell you that it's not only worth taking, but it's worth refreshing yourself every few years. Because you never know when you're going to need the information or you're going to need the information to share with someone else. And I want to commend Game and Fish for a program they started about 20 years ago, where they will sobriety test people on boats. And you're subject to the same laws on the boats as you are on the highways. And I think they waited way too long to start that campaign. There was way too much alcohol-induced behavior behind 200, 300, 400 horsepower boats around kids and families, and there's too many horrible stories and tales to share about that. But thank you, Game and Fish, for the sobriety checkpoints that you're going to be running on the lakes here as boating season gets started. Arizona Highways Magazine features Lake Powell, and you sent me an article today about renewed energy behind draining Lake Powell. And, you know, man, they can't drain Lake Powell.
No. Romy, isn't there some wear your life jacket to work?
I did not read it, but I did see a press release that Game and Fish had a wear your life jacket to work day.
I have to know the full story, I guess.
I think if you wear a life jacket to work day, then that work day,
Should be on the lake.
You're on the lake.
Your boss has to take you to the lake. Is that how it works?
That's easy. Just go to the lake.
Well, there's our next outing, Rosie on the house.
So we'll be getting Carol and her friends out to the lake for a little barbecue, a little water skiing, a little tubing, a little wakeboarding. So that'll be fun. Hope to see you all out there having a good, safe time.
Now, we don't have the job site anymore, so what do y'all take?
Well, now we're going to have to we'll have to rent one out on at the marina.
Mm-hmm. For our listeners, the job site was the name of our boat for many years. And so when anybody asks where Rosie is, oh, he's on the job site.
The first boat was in the field. Where's Rosie? He's in the field. That was a nice little boat. Then we got the job site. That was
a really nice
boat. Yeah. Where's Rosie? He's on the job site. That way nobody ever had to lie.
That's right.
Right? Well, he's not available. He's on the job site. So, boy, we had a lot of hours of fun in that machine, didn't we, bud?
Oh, man.
Family trips to all the Colorado River lakes and how many Mondays we were out there at Bartlett and Saguaro. And I always
enjoyed Havasu and Mead in that boat as well.
Havasu and Mead, those were great, great times.
Yeah.
Boats. I want another boat.
The best times were always non-weekends when they were, you had it to yourself.
Come on. Time to get up. Rise and shine. Let's go. Let's get her going.
I'm going to some place where I've never been before.
Speaking of going someplace you've never been before, how's he get that high? Is that a man singing? It is. It is Arizona Restaurant Week. that is a great opportunity for y'all to, and I'm notorious for this. I have like five restaurants that I go to over and over and over and over again. And I don't get out there and explore the new restaurants. Well, Restaurant Week is an excellent opportunity to do that. I mean, in my world, when I want a good cheeseburger, I go to Handlebar J's. That's as right there. That's about as good a cheeseburger as you can get right there. But if you want to try some of the other restaurants, there is hardly a restaurant in Arizona that isn't participating. Get to ArizonaRestaurantWeek.com, and you can find a complete list of participating restaurants. And they are doing all kinds of discount meal participation to get you to expand your dining experience. So that goes from the 19th, started yesterday, and goes through the 28th. And as you see the names of restaurants scrolling across the bottom of the page, you think, yeah, I've wanted to try that one, and I've wanted to try that one, and I don't venture out as often as I should.
Arizona is a foodie haven for sure.
Oh, man. Hey, did y'all see the Dig in downtown Phoenix? They're finally putting a grocery store in downtown Phoenix.
All the apartment dwellers.
It's going to be a Fry's, and it's going to be like, that's going to be a cash cow. They have been grocery store starved. Part Phoenix for a long time, so it's right there at Feet in Washington. They were starting the excavations for the footings, and they came across these bricks, and they did a little. It ended up being the first fire station ever built, this, which was right next door to the first city hall in Phoenix. So they got through all that, and they kept digging and digging and digging, and then they got to a Hohokam village that they discovered down there. So we tried to get an archaeologist in today to talk about it.
Ready to talk.
We, Pueblo Grande Museum, they weren't ready to talk. The archaeologist thanked us for reading them and said, we've got to get from the developer. We won't be able to get that quick enough. But they said they will get it. So we will have one. I think it genuinely surprise anyone that hasn't studied Native American culture in the Southwest will be blown away how many people live along the Salt River in 1200 and 1400 AD.
If you just go down to the Pueblo Grande Museum, just in the heart of Phoenix, right down by the airport, it'll blow your mind.
I think it's one of the most secret gems we have. And I'll tell you, if y'all haven't been to Pueblo Grande Museum, go. It's definitely worth the trip, for sure. So,
this week in history, kind of a busy week we've had historically. What would you say that you were talking about the Higgins boats that carried the troops across the channel? How long do you think it took to plan D-Day?
How long to plan D-Day?
Yeah.
Ooh, man.
I never even thought about it. I thought it was kind of a spontaneous thing, but I guess it's too big of a operation to be spontaneous, right?
Yeah.
You know, I think it took them.
That's
got
to be a logistics nightmare just to feed that many people sitting around waiting to go across.
Wow. I believe what they let us know about, they took about 6 months to do Desert Storm. So I'm going to say 6 months. Yeah.
Well, it was this week, the week of May 20th, 1943, that FDR and Churchill decided that Invasion Day would be May 1st, 1944, almost a year later.
Wow.
Now, because of weather, obviously the invasion didn't happen until June 6th. But it was 11 and a half months prior to launching that invasion. They had decided what they were going to do. What do you think that conversation around that table was like? Imagine sitting there observing that.
Somber.
That decision.
Developing the strategy you knew that would take to choke the German machine.
Man.
You know?
Have you ever heard of the Ohio Company Charter?
Ohio Company Charter, yes.
King George II of England granted that this week in 1749, claiming a couple thousand acres around the Ohio River Fork. Well, France said they claimed it a century earlier, and the English said, no, it's ours, we claim it, and there you had the French and Indian War.
another good reason for a war. That was in 1740. That was approximately 100 to 200 years after the Hohokam left the Phoenix area.
You think they went to Ohio?
Maybe they went to fight the war, the French and Indian War. I don't know. But think about that.
Gosh. So on a lighter note, Charles Lindbergh took off today for Spirit of St. Louis from Roosevelt Field, Long Island, to Paris, France. He was so loaded down with fuel, he missed the power lines by inches at the end of the runway. Can you imagine how different that story would have been if he couldn't have gotten that lift just a hair higher? The 3,610-mile trip took 33 and a half hours.
Oh, brutal.
You think he kissed the ground when he got there?
That's a lot of gas.
That's some lonesome hours out over the ocean, don't you think?
Yeah, true. It's not like a sightseeing trip.
This was 1927.
Gosh, man.
Mechanics, you know, I do like the old trucks I can work on.
Yeah.
I don't have a 1927 truck.
Right. Yeah.
Much less airplane.
Golly.
A little known tailor in Reno, Nevada got his patent this week. A guy by the name of Jacob Davis on his new system for tailoring a style of jeans he had. We didn't have the money to get the patent, so we partnered with his supplier and buddy, Levi Strauss, to fund his patent.
So Levi got provide the funding and his name.
Mm-hmm. But Jacob Davis was the brains behind the patented riveted Levi Strauss.
Was it the rivets that allowed you to put a patent on your britches?
Right. He had started riveting those stress points because that was where he was getting his return. And that was what he got his patent
for. Where would America be without jeans?
Well, and I don't think Romy's old enough. I don't think Mike's old enough. But, you know, as a kid, when you bought a pair of Levi's.
501.
They were so stiff. They could literally take them off the shelf, shake them out, and they would stand up. But you had to wash them like 15 times.
We used to lay on the bed to zip them. You had to get them on.
You had to wash them 15 times before you could ever really wear them where they wouldn't chafe you right down.
Well, then they started doing the stonewash jeans.
Yeah.
And now they add a little spandex, so now it's easy peasy. Easy peasy.
Liking that.
Did your parents, though, we didn't have much money farming, so my mom tried to make me a stonewash jacket with bleach.
Oh, yeah, well, I've tried that.
Yeah, it doesn't work out very well, does it?
It's about the tie-dye time. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's pretty obvious your mom tried that when you go to school.
Did she make you wear it?
Yeah, once.
It got beat up and he didn't have to wear it again.
37 years ago this week, Mount St. Helens blew.
Oh, I remember that.
You know, I still remember sweeping ash off the porch here in Phoenix.
Yep.
You know, that stuff circled the earth for days, and it was dark. It was kind of hazy feeling. And I scooped up a dustpan full. It was just the weirdest thing.
It was.
They say it's brewing again. Not that it's imminent, but they're having these little earthquake clusters.
Mount St. Helens is?
Mm-hmm. They've had 3 earthquake clusters, say that quick, in this last year. Not even detectable, really, unless you have the equipment. But that just is a sign that it's brewing. You know, it's filling up again.
Well, when it blew, I mean, you look at pictures of that mountain before and after, that cone before and after. I mean, it's pretty substantial. Well, there were like 30 or 40 people killed in
57.
That. 57 were killed in that eruption.
People didn't believe it.
Oh, man.
Wouldn't leave.
Mm. Mount St. Helens. It's still beautiful when we fly up to see your brother, William, up in Portland. That's still on a clear day, that's one of the prettiest flights where you can see all those little cone snow-capped volcanoes. A gorgeous little flight into Portland or Seattle.
In 2004, Randy Johnson threw his perfect game. Now, a perfect game, it was over the Atlanta Braves. They won 2-0. Is when a pitcher faces a minimum of 27 batters and records 27 outs. Up to that time, only 17 had been thrown, and 15 post 1900.
And you know what? I was gonna say he was no spring chicken 40. When he did that. He had a lot of games under his belt.
So my first question, when I hear that, How were the Braves at this time?
I don't know.
Was he facing a bunch of really old fogies?
That's a good question. I don't know that one.
This last one, who cares? It gets off into some... Do you remember the Patty Hearst?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
That was big news in our day.
Yeah, that raid happened this week. 500 LAPD sieged the Compton home complex and calculated an estimated 1,200 rounds into the home and killed 6 members of the SLA. And Patty was not in the home. She was captured in September, claimed that she had been captured and brainwashed by the group and was innocent of her robberies. They didn't believe her, threw in the jail, and was pardoned in 01 by Clinton on his way out.
Wonder what she's doing today.
Patty's father, Randolph Hearst.
Was that father or grandfather?
The story says father. Said the massive attack turned dingbats into martyrs.
So there you go.
So she obviously wasn't representing the whole Hearst family in this.
A week in history.
Have you ever been to the Hearst Castle?
I have.
That's an incredible.
We could do a Rosie on the House broadcast from there, right? That's a house.
That man, I don't even know what to think of it. I look at it, I'm like, what a waste of money. Way up here, you've got to build this special water reserve tank. You've got to pipe it 2 mountains over just to get it here. And I mean, at the time and when it was occupied, you know, when you're driving up and they've got just rows of gardens that you can see are abandoned that they had covered for their gardening, that would have been pretty cool. But I mean, they had giraffes and all these, you know, exotic animals and just exorbitant amount of wasted resources on, you know,
self.
Yeah, it was kind of impressive, but when you look back at it and you think about it, you're like, man, what self-absorbed lifestyle.
It's if you want to see self-absorbed brought to the max, go to Europe and tour some of those castles that kings and queens and entire families built on the backs. Randolph Hearst built his through free enterprise and being the biggest media mogul of the day. But how about these kings and queens in Europe that are building these castles on the backs of their servants and just raising the taxes so they could gold gild one more statue for the Hall of Statues?
I haven't read it yet because my book priority keeps shuffling. But when we visited, I got a book there called War Lovers. And, you know, just reading the back page, basically the gist of what the book is you know, how much Hearst hated Theodore Roosevelt. But his rough riders sold so many newspapers, he basically gave him a blank check to go, you know, run the Rough Riders.
Oh, man.
But hated him with a passion.
Well, when we get back, we're going to be talking about the Arizona staycation, some particularly great testimonies we've received from recent winners. Y'all stay tuned. Now's the time to be thinking about what part of Arizona you haven't seen yet. Get to RosieOnTheHouse.com and sign up for the Anderson Ford Station. Then we started, I don't know how long we've been doing that, 5 or 6 years?
Feels longer.
Yeah, does it? where you go to RosieOnTheHouse.com and click on the Anderson Ford tile and register your name. You can register once a month. We pick a winner every single month, and then we empty the basket, and we let the basket fill back up. And when you win, you get to go to Sanderson Ford, 64 acres of Ford vehicles. A corner of that is their demo lot, where they take brand new vehicles that they put out on the road for people to try, get some miles on them, get people familiar with all the new safety features and luxury features on these vehicles. You get to pick a car of your choice out of the demo lot. We find out where you want to go, and we arrange the lodging, and we put a gift card in the car to cover the gas and the food. Lodging's taken care of, transportation's taken care of, and we have really gotten some sweet, sweet stories. A couple months ago, we got an entire Shutterfly picture book where they documented the entire event. Boy, that was special receiving that. But you've got a letter from someone that just recently finished us Arizona
staycation.
Bill
and Debbie
staycation.
Just got back and took the time to send a little thank you note. She says, thank you so much for the Arizona staycation. We had a great time. The hotel room, car, cash card, Sibley's gift bag, and Arizona travel books were much appreciated. We picked up the roomy, comfortable Ford Flex from Sanderson on Monday and decided to head up north a day early. We stayed in Flagstaff for the night, toured the Reardon House, visited Lowell Observatory per Rosie's recommendations on Saturday,
okay. All right.
Then drove to Snow Bowl to play in the snow. Remember, it was that last crazy snow we got.
Okay.
Next, we drove to Sedona and checked into the Best Western Plus. Wow, what a nice room and view, as Rosie and Jennifer described. For the next 2 days, we enjoyed the sights, restaurants, and relaxed in the cool weather.
That Best Western Plus in Sedona does have some of the best views of the Red Rocks of virtually a lot of the other rooms in the area.
Well,
they charge
the
a whole lot more.
On the top.
That rooftop deck.
Rooftop deck with fire pits. You can sit out there and watch. So, and they're very hospitable people. Have gotten just rave reviews about the Best Western Plus of Sedona. And then the Sibley's gift basket this week had... So Sibley's West is in Chandler. And it has 4,000 Arizona unique gifts. You can find them on the website, or they have a great store. But in the basket for Bill and Debbie, they had Sphinx Date Ranch goodies, which is also one of our staycation partners, as well as Soretta Candy. They had Hayden Mills products, which are just, they have great crackers and right from our local mill, and Sting-a-ling salsa. So they've got all kinds of great little things in their basket.
That's an Arizona staycation sponsored by Sanderson Ford. You can only win it at RosieOnTheHouse.com. And while you're there, shucks, go ahead and register and then vote for Rosie on the House. Is the number one contractor referral directory in the state of Arizona. We continue to hold that title for 9 years
in
a row.
Eight
is our eighth year. Okay.
And how long we've been married?
What's that got to do with it?
Because you're always jumping ahead. You're always thinking, you always number things that you're ahead.
Something about ready to happen to that I don't know about?
It's optimism. We're going to make it.
Yeah.
Right. Always look. We've been married 39 years.
Very good.
Huh?
I thought he was going to say 40. How old is Carol?
Oh, no, don't do that.
She's a freshman in college.
Don't do that to me. I can tell you her birth date, but I cannot tell you her age. So, we've got John Jay in studio coming up for the outdoor living segment. I'm anxious to talk to him. I know my lawn is kind of in that ugly tween stage where it doesn't have wintergrass and it doesn't have TIFF. It's just kind of struggling between itself on what really wants to be. But I think the 90-degree and 100-degree...
It's having identification problems.
It's having ID problems. But I think the 100-degree weather coming up in this next week are probably going to settle the identity crisis. But we'll have John Jay in talking about that, as well as any question you might have about your landscaping, gardening, lawn, TIFF, trees, shrubs. So we'll be talking about that.
Our 9 o'clock interview from the National Hardware Show.
Yes.
Is on lawn equipment that is very impressive. I didn't believe it, and we got to demo it there at the National Hardware Show. And tell you what, I'm going to be converting to this power system over the course of time.
And that's in the 9 o'clock hour of today's program.
It is.
They have a power washer to die for too. I'm going to give that a shot.
Y'all had fun at the hardware show.
Briggs and Stratton had a lot there. You know, you think, well, what could a small engine company have that's new? But man, everything we're going to be highlighting, with the exception of their generator, they have a new quiet generator. It is non-gas.
Okay.
So they're coming out with a lot of...
big batteries and stuff, yeah.
Uh-huh, yeah. Electric power, power.
Very good.
So we'll be excited to talk about, have that interview here for you at the 9 o'clock. And then the third segment, Ray of Light, will be in to talk a little bit about our article today on cabinets and refinishing them, making the best out of your existing cabinets.
Yeah, whether you want to reface them or resurface them, repaint them.
10 o'clock, we've got Dave Burns in of Green ID talking whole house energy audit. Very popular here at Rosie on the House. You think, gosh, you've covered it enough. How can it be any different? But every home is different. So it'll be an opportunity to call in and talk through your home, your energy consumption, your strategy becoming efficient and reducing your that kilowatt hour number on your electric bill.
And if you've got a topic you'd like us to dig into and research, send it to us at info@rosieonthehouse.com and we'll turn it over to our producer and see if we can research it and get it covered.
Sign up for the Rosie on the House weekly newsletter. It's filled with timely gardening and home improvement advice, as well as special offers and discounts you can't find anywhere else. That's rosieonthehouse.com.